The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus, stand up.
Stand up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahasha Black.
Hey.
The Hit Back with Nahasha Black is sponsored by Central Bank, Bahamas Society of Human Resources, Baha Retreat and Spa, J.S. Johnson, and Scotia Bank.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Hit Back. I'm your host, Nahasha Black. It is a beautiful day here in the 242. Happy Monday to everyone. If you're like me, it's like, Monday, yay. Not really, because, I mean, really, it's the beginning of a work week. And if you're fortunate, though, to have work, then don't complain, eh? God is good all the time. There are a lot of people who wish they had some form of income, so we are grateful for every day. There are a lot of folks who are just happy to be alive, and we all should be, considering that there is so much mourning in this country, as is around the world, right? We are all struggling a bit with something. And so, you know, it's always just be grateful, very much to be grateful, a lot to be thankful for every day. I've said it many times, every day is a new opportunity to, live your best life, live out a dream. Some things will never change unless you're planning to step out on faith, switch your mindset, switch and move from your fear holding you hostage to your fear of being in the same place 10 years from now, propelling you. Sometimes it's okay. Fear is fine, you know. Fear is good. Fear is healthy. Fear is a part of the process. It lets you know whether to run. It helps you with that fight or flight situation. And it's good. It's a part of us. But don't be paralyzed by it. Fear should not be the sole factor for which you make a decision. It should be that your faith propels you to do something that's bigger than yourself. And I think that most of us, I don't know one human being who doesn't have some form of limiting belief, right? Where some things were said to you, your parents said something, you know what, you could do this, but let's try this one. Or maybe not this one. There are some limiting beliefs, and you will only go as far as the people ahead of you. And why do I say that? Because you are taught or trained by the people ahead of you. I've learned never to be the smartest one in the group. If I'm the smartest one in the group, I can't grow. So I always look for groups or circles where that challenge me. I like being uncomfortable. I like that I have to be quiet in a room because I don't know the topic. And so I have to listen and learn. I think those are growing moments, that your present situation does not mean the final destination. And all of this is so important, vitally important, because once we have a bigger position or a bigger mindset for ourselves, then we can take that mindset and then demand it of someone else and say, hey, politician, policymakers, I view myself as deserving of better public relations, better policymaking. I want to do this type of business and y'all don't have the structure for it. I want to be more digital in my business because I see that I can export or give to the world. So I need better platforms to do it. You are limiting us in your policies. So we have to, when you find yourself, when you are larger than your present location and your present situation, it demands you move. If you're in a relationship and you're finding that you, one day you'll wake up, you know, you'll wake up and say, this relationship makes no sense. I deserve more. I'm better than this. And those are the relationships where you need to get out and you seek to be healthy. You know, we are in such an interesting time, right? An interesting time. And I want to say shout out to everyone who's tuning in online, everyone who's tuning in your cars, in your office, to everyone who says when they see me, Nahasha, I love your show. I appreciate you. To those who can't, but you watch anyway, thank you. I appreciate you too. Grand Bahama, I love you. I appreciate all of the support and love I get out of Grand Bahama and across the family of islands. Thank you guys so much. We're in an interesting time, right? So the past, I've had two shows last week that have really taken a lot of people, and it's really transfixed folks, and it was a lot to do with Dr. Chetty from South Africa. And I meditated on looked through some of the comments of the videos, and I wanted to say a few things before we move forward, because we have to discuss the government government's recent announcement, the Ministry of Health, Minister Dowell, Minister of Health's statement on the plans for COVID-19. And I don't know if we call them plans, right? And I need more information. It needs to be fleshed out more. I don't even know if we call them strategies, but we'll discuss that. My good friend C.N. Urie and I will flesh through some of what was written. The response to COVID-19, is what we're doing sufficient? Is it what we expected? There was also some talk of we're going to build a new morgue. And I'm like, okay, we haven't even had a talk yet about your plans for the economy. But we're talking about how we're spending money, but I digress. Right? You know, okay. I try, you know, give them room. But I wanted to say a few things before we move forward. One of the biggest things here, what the national discussion and discourse, even when we talk about the economy, is how do we deal with COVID-19? First of all, I want to say this. All of what I've learned, which is a lot when we're talking about COVID, is nowhere near what persons on the ground and doctors on the ground have been, you know, learning and doing. So after having Dr. Chetty on and really reaching out to physicians, you know what? I was blown away by some of the discussions I was having with physicians. And some of the discussions were, well, Nahaj, you know, we're using quite a bit of some of these protocols ourselves, right? One physician said, you know, that's interesting what Dr. Chetty said about it being an allergic reaction. I'm curious as to which markers that he's using to determine that. Now I will go and check to see if there's an increased level of these, whatever those things are, I don't know, whatever it is that shows up in your blood test to determine if it's an allergic reaction. So it's interesting what's the discourse. But the number one thing that came out of this, that whole thing with Dr. Chetty, talking to Bahamian physicians, you know, was that they said he may have, maybe South Africans are better behaved than Bahamians. The number one critique from our physicians is that we as Bahamians are not good patients. We do not follow instructions. We do not follow the protocols to a T. That we will not take care or be responsible for our own health in a way that even if a protocol is given to follow up or for you to come and say, you know, because, you know, one of the things in Dr. Chetty's thing is that, hey, he educates his audience, his patients, and say day 8. If you feel anything day 8, call or come in, right? And also he would at the beginning, he said he would call at the beginning. And one of the biggest critiques is that we don't follow instruction. He said, if you tell someone take, you know, this medication for 7 days, they'll stop at 4 because they feel better, right? One of the things I love about Doctors Hospital, if you're fortunate, you got insurance, you go to Doctors Hospital, you know what they do when you're about to leave, when you're getting your prescription? They get 2 people come in, right? They knock on your door. You're dressed. Most times you ain't, because nobody told you the pharmacy was coming to the room, but I digress. So they come in and they have all of your prescriptions and they go through what each one is, what each one does, and possible side effects. Yeah, possible side effects also. And they go through it and they tell you, you got to take this all the way through. You got to do this. Don't skip it. Blah, blah, blah. And you follow it because now you have an understanding of the process, right? So I like, you know, if you got, you know, what do you call it? Tonsillitis. They tell you, finish all of your what is that thing that you have to take when you got tonsillitis in the pill form? And they take it all the way through 7 days. The critique is that we as citizens don't take care of ourselves. We don't follow through. So we'll stop in the middle of a protocol and switch to bush medicine because Grammy say this works. Grammy said that worked. Now, mind you, we know bush medicine to some degree and certain things work. But we don't, we already, listen to people, we 600, almost 630 deaths. And y'all been drinking Saracy, okay? That ain't stopping no show. So until we do some studies, real studies on our bush medicines, we are on anecdotal ideas of what it does. Now we could go, and no disrespect, because of course we know that history has lent us a lot of information. The problem is that I feel as if we as a culture, maybe it's majority Black nations, I don't know, right? Out of colonialized structures and systems. We lean so heavily on the expertise of the Euro nations, Eurocentric expertise, Western civilization, as if they are smarter than us. So we're not putting any money and emphasis into our own biomedical research. We don't even have our own lab to determine if we have different variants. And at this point, where is that lab? There's no intention to be leaders of ourselves. We wait and listen and hope that the world ahead of us, because see, they are developed and we are developing. So we are incapable of original thought. We're incapable of solving a problem as big as COVID. We're incapable of perhaps having protocols that can work to keep us out of hospital. Now, all of this, I segued because I wanted to get to a particular point. One of the main things I want to say is this, is that there are some facts that we cannot get away from. Some facts, F-A-C-T-S, all of a sudden that was like a kind of scary. I couldn't spell it. Some facts that are facts. Why can't facts ever have a T sound at the end? But I die. Some of these facts are, one, that the majority of persons that are in hospital, mind you, only 29% are vaccinated, but the majority of those who are in hospital sick and dying are those who have not taken the jab. And I have a problem with calling this a vaccine because, again, you can still transmit, you can still, you can still get it, you can still spread it. I have a problem calling it a vaccine now based on that information. If they now stick with a new definition that it is to protect, then all of these things are therapeutics, but I digress. I have a problem saying vaccine. But anyways, so we do know that it has a therapeutic, it works to a certain degree. Is it foolproof? No. And that is where the discussion and the narrative around this jab is getting lost in the fray. It is as if this is a cure. It is not a cure. It is a preventative measure, and a preventative measure of the worst end. But there are risks associated with taking it. And those risks should be said and explained in detail as best as can be explained. Those risks should be monitored with great vigor, right? The 501 number shouldn't be ringing to no one. There should be intentional data collection so that we can know how we, as a country riddled with comorbidities and unhealthy based on the former, the latter of the former minister of health. It's so many former ministers of health. I mean, Dr. Dwayne Sands, because you remember now we've been talking about we couldn't even get in the air, fly out because we were too big to fit in the plane thingy-majiggy to take us to the hospital. He was fat-shaming a lot of people. Dwayne, he was fat-shaming a lot of people, but that's a whole other show. But we have these issues here. Now, one thing that it is a fact that it does help. So it is a choice that you make if you want to protect yourself. You go ahead and take the jab. If you want to protect yourself, but there are risks. And that is important. So you decide, okay, that is not the one I want. But know that it is an option. It is an option. But it may not be the option that sits well with you. Then that leads to where I have this big issue with how we're dealing with COVID in country. We are not talking about outpatient strategies in the country. What level will the hospital take you at? If you found out you have COVID and you don't want to get to 70% oxygen saturation, because you know by that time, buddy dog, eat your lunch in some ways if you're going to the hospital, yeah? Things ain't looking too ivory for you. We don't want to go to that level. You don't even want to get to 89. I had Dr. Dwayne Sands tell me if you get to 89 sats, go to the hospital. But now the hospital, at some point, I heard from other people saying the hospital told you that, listen, you okay right now. Just go home. We don't have space. Get some oxygen. We don't have room for you right now. If it gets to, you know, low 80s, come back. But what happens if it starts to spiral? What if what Dr. Chetty is saying is true, that you are now into this cytokine storm, right? We don't have room in the inn. There must be more conversation about outpatient therapy. And not just conversation, but now we should go into studies. Now we should be the aggressive leaders of the Caribbean. Barbados is having its own challenges with its citizenry. Mia Motley could be all the prime minister she wants. Those people ain't into no jab. They're not into mandatory jabs. They're not into hotels telling them you need to be vaccinated or else you'll have to pay for your own vaccines. If you want to keep your job, you have to pay for your own tests. It doesn't matter who the prime minister is. This is a global issue. So now if it's a global issue, we must become world leaders in our thinking and be actively pursuing outpatient therapies that can help. And you say, okay, well, they must go through the rigor. But there are doctors here who are trying to go through the rigorous detail or process of studies and trials, but are feeling as if they are being pushed back. Red tape, roadblocked, because things don't line up with how the CDC and who say. I say, look at our records. Are we successful with this? Yes, mind you, the majority of us who get this virus will be fine. But are we actually fine? Are we actually okay? No. Ask the citizens in Inagua, how are they feeling today? Ask the citizens in Long Island. Ask all of the New Providence people who families have died. Grand Bahama, we have yet to recover from Dorian and Morn. And then financial crisis after financial crisis because of COVID-19. And we are waiting. We are just being held hostage and we're not being proactive. We are not doing what we need to do. More contact tracing. So, okay, the government says, all right, we're going to deal with giving free testing. Well, yay, yeah, someone get the cowbells. Let's shake the pom-poms. Let's get all excited. Free testing. Woo. All right. We're going to do it as a project on these family islands. Okay. But then what? I will say, okay, I'm going to be quite frank and honest here. I technically don't know, and I see my producer say, break. I got to go to break. When we come back, we'll discuss this and more. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will be back right after this.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Calling all HR professionals. It's Human Resources Professionals Week. Join us for the 41st Annual BSHRM Conference and Expo, Friday, October 29th, 2021. Hear from our 18 industry-leading speakers, enjoy lunch powered by Craven, visit exhibitors in our virtual expo, and so much more. To learn more, email us at conferencebsherm@gmail.com. We'll see you at BSHRM Conference 2021.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Crystal says PTSD is real. Mental health services need to provide just as much as they're pushing, provide just as much assistance and solutions as they are pushing this jab. Our generation is going through a lot. Yes, they are. Thank you for that. That was really strong comment. I appreciate that a lot. We got my good friend C.A. Nuri joining us on the show. And I think we got a call on the line. C.A., welcome to the show, buddy.
Just unmuting myself, and it's always good to be here. Nahaja, I share your concern. I see you on your rant, and I see the passion inside your voice. Everybody expected the Ministry of Health, the new Minister of Health, would go on the ground running with plans. We know that they had an alternative mechanism, an alternative plan, and disagreed one or two points against the FNM administration. So we assume that on day one, on day five, on day 15, on day 24, the month later, that something would have been in place and that we would be saying, yes, we see the difference, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, when you see hearing 4 to 6 people dying from COVID in places like Inagua, that's startling. That's startling.
And Long Island.
And we're hearing 3 and 4 Eleuthera. In Long Island. And they're hearing Eleuthera, you know, and people dying. So you start panicking. These are communities where one person dies per year. Right?
Yeah.
And to have 4 and 6 people dying in 1 week.
Husband and wife.
That's traumatic. Listen, that island is traumatic.
And the story, my challenge is how long are we going to hear the same type of stories? Husband and wife, mother and son. At some point, there must be a shift that what we're doing, Cecil, is not working. And that's all we got it. Now we have to think out of the box, man. Now we have to be those people who say, you know what? What else information? I mean, stupidly aggressive. You have an idea over there. Let's give you sufficient funds. I need you to do a trial. Let's get teams out there. Let's see what you're doing. Does it make sense? Let's get some teams. Let's see if we can get you on a study or a trial. The United States doesn't have a monopoly on brilliant ideas. Europe doesn't have a monopoly on solving health crises. All of our doctors are scientists. They went to school too. Black men and women have found out diseases and cured things. Black people have been guinea pigs for science. Why can't we look at ourselves and each other? And I wonder if it's an each other thing, you know. You ain't making, you ain't this, you ain't that. So how could you? You ain't smart. Man, listen, at this point, we got, what do you name, what the fella name who's called the show?
No, 52.
There you go. If 52 and all, you'll get 52 a study to do.
Yeah, side gig and say, man, you work this out.
You see, 52, you got ideas. Here, let's talk. I give you 2 apprentices and some robes and let's see what you come up with, 52. Yeah. Because at this point.
One small stipend.
No, wait, hold on. There ain't no stipend. Nobody working now. We ain't no stipend. You have a couple dollars to get the work done.
That's and if you come up, enough to line his pocket.
Well, you better have an auditor.
The gentleman to work for free.
We gotta have an auditor. And so every dollar gotta be accounted for. But at this point, Cecil, we need and that's why I had Dr. Chetty on the show, you know. But we gotta call her. Let's get to this caller. Caller, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Nahaj.
How you doing?
I'm fine, ma'am. And to your co-host, good evening, sir. Mr. Nuri. Nahaja, yes, the people need to be tested, all right? We need, we're happy we have a new government who's serious, hopefully will show more intensity in the seriousness of the matter as relates to getting us tested, everybody tested. Mm-hmm. There's a lot I could say about the testing part, but what I want to get to is this. We have a lot of Bahamians, Nahaja, who cannot wait for the next 74 days to receive the national insurance contribution the way they're receiving it, okay? Because that's going to affect the same testing and vaccination process that you're trying to accomplish and eventually eliminate, all right? Because why? You have 80,000 people out there who can't travel because they're not working, all right? Mm-hmm. And these people deserve to to go and get tested and have the vaccine if they want to, but they can't because could you tell these people to put a foreign agent into themselves and family without a job and just expect these people to live off $110 because they need the internet to verify and register for the NIB, and you need to do that. Are we playing with people's lives? People, more Bahamians going to lose their life from unemployment and starvation on top of what they have to, what the whole world dealing with. And we must be godly and be fair. Okay, and the doctors must understand, if it wasn't for Bush medicine, thank God for Bush medicine, the COVID-19 is man-made, okay? Either which way how they want to slice it or dice it, that's man-made. That's not a natural disease. That's why God gave us medicine, for natural disease. But when man go there and play war games and with the world for money, don't play with me and my children's life and over the natural resources. If you're one that have that, that will here before humans. And they can be here long after humans. But don't play with our lives and play. Nahasha, please tell these people what they must say. Good day.
Thank you, my brother. I see that. That was passion, Cecil. That was passion.
Yes. We need to... It was something. It's definitely something.
And, you know, you got to appreciate that it's very much one where folks are feeling it, man. They stop playing with people's lives. And I agree with the caller. At some point, we got to stop this.
And forgive me for interjecting, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need to make a sober plea to our leaders for them to understand our frustration, to understand our angst, and understand our concern. I'm not sure if they appreciate that we are not satisfied with what is happening at this present time. Yeah. You know, the current narrative is saying that they just came into power, the government just came into power, and that we must pause and wait for them to get on the ground. But we know we had 18 deaths for over the weekend, 18 more deaths, right? And we are not seemingly not getting the curb this and to arrest this problem. And I expect that by next week, we'll hear about another 20 to 30 deaths again, Bahamians, that means we need to do something. We need to do something, and it cannot be just wait, right? We know that, again, I reiterate the point that the PLP administration said they had a plan, an alternative plan to the FNM administration, and because the FNM administration plan was not working, right? Mm-hmm. This lockdown thing and this just taking the vaccine narrative was not working. So they said that they have an alternative plan, and this alternative plan should work.
Yep.
We went into the election, and now it seems as if we have a spike. Seems, right? Cluster of outbreaks on the family island, which was deemed as relatively safe. We have numbers in Inagua that has jumped. We have up to 6 people in Inagua dead. Right? We have them taking down oxygens down there to save people's lives. Then we have in the same, we hear it in Long Island. You hear the same, hear it in Eleuthera. And then you ask, okay, what is your plan for this spike? And you said, well, we're going to give out masks.
We're going to give out masks. We're going to do free testing. We're going to educate. And what's the other? Listen, what?
And then we asked Nahasha when. Did they give you a date as yet?
They didn't give me the date. They said immediately. But what does that mean? Immediately means
already on the ground.
Is that now? Is that happening now? I messaged for that answer. I didn't get it. Now, in all full transparency, I was able to reach Dr. Darvill yesterday. Before the press statement, I was able to reach him yesterday before the press statement, and he has agreed to come on the show soon. That sounds like the press statement, right?
Soon.
And I was thinking that would be this week. So we will see, right? Because really the thing is, CA, day one. This is where we are. We knew that whatever government came in, God help if it was the last set, then, you know, it would have been the same old, but you thought that if these guys came in, they had a lot of hard mouth. They were ready day one. Why was that important to say? Because When Thursday, in the height of the pandemic, you warned Friday people was going to still be in the hospital, like your neighbor, he never got to vote in that election, Cecil. People were dying on Thursday. They died on Friday. They died on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every day since that day, since the 17th. This is not, okay, I ain't even got the energy to say whose fault it is. No, but it doesn't matter. Because every government or any government that came in knew that there would be a pandemic. Now, what I was hoping for, I don't know what I was hoping for. I really was hoping for more. I'll tell you that. Because what we were doing, which was, okay, just contain everything, lock down everything, and do the status quo. Everybody get the jab, right? Everybody go get the jab and we'll be fine. But we know everybody ain't gonna be fine. Colin Powell is dead today. He was fully vaccinated. Now they said, of course, he has cancer and there were other issues. My friend's wife, she's not with us. She was fully vaccinated. Spoke with some other doctors and they said, well, now how'd you be surprised how many COVID breakthroughs we're getting in country? COVID breakthroughs of persons who are fully vaccinated. So, I mean, hey, yes, though the fact is that right now what we know to be true is that less people are dying with who have the jab versus persons who don't have the jab. I think that's factual. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to stress or anything on that. It is factual. Here is where my issue comes. Day one, see, we're now 30 days in and we've got folks who are still going through. Spikes are in our further islands. And I need this government to think outside of the box. I need
them. And I hear you, Nahaja. So let's talk
with different.
What solutions? What should we be telling Dr. Darvill that we expect to be happening in Long Island? What we expect to be happening in Inagua? You know, because right now it's not happening. So I want to give him some ideas.
Well,
I want to give
this him is ideas. Okay. What was stated, and I'll go with you with that. Let's go with that, right? Let's go with what ideas you could give. Well, I did a whole show on alternative options twice, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's time to go outside of our comfort and do studies. Let's see what we can do. That's the long term. Let's go ahead and get like someone like Dr. Bethel. What have you been doing that's been so successful? How do we keep people out of the hospital at this point? Is there? And you call all of the doctors and say, hey, I know that things have been vilified, demonized. Is there a protocol that you would recommend? What have you learned? Let's see what we can do. Then set up clinics that are just for those protocols that we are, you know, once people are interested and they want to be a part of it, you can go there and let's see if these outpatient protocols work. One. Two, though, if you're talking about spikes and clusters, there has to be a standardized way in which you deal with spikes and clusters until you get whatever sort of information you need from out of these outbreaks. So what do you do? I don't know if I, after a certain point, I'll say this, after a certain point, when we allow things to get out of hand, I still think that, hey, some part of it has to be okay, that you have to have a place where you quarantine those who are sick. You got to find yourself a hotel or you find yourself a boutique space or something where folks who are sick can be comfortably separated from their families so that we don't have an entire household getting sick. If they have to come to New Providence for that sort of care, then you have to have that. And we have to figure out a way to get people so that the whole house sees us, so the husband, wife, and child don't be dying together. And so at this point, I would have hoped that, you know, we would have talked about free testing, but the question always was, then what? Then what? Do we have, after all of this day one talk, after you've been tested, where do folks go who are positive? Do they keep going home? Do you give them medication so that they can quarantine and get better outside of the hospital? That's what I was hoping for. So I don't know what else to tell them. I don't know what other suggestion you could give them. Because again, people who have all the data are the ones who got better decision making. So if they come to us and say, based on the data, we're screwed, and based on the data, we're screwed. But there got to be more than this, I think. And personal responsibility is a big deal too. Someone says people are not wearing their mask and all of that stuff. We got to take a break. When we come back, you're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio. See, I want to get your thoughts. What suggestions you have? And if you have suggestions for the government, I want to hear from you as well. Let them hear from you. We want to get as much suggestions as possible. But I mean, for God's sake, man, I got to work. We got to give y'all suggestions too. People can't get a job. I got to feed children. I got to work on how to help y'all feed children. We can be back right after.
Softer, smoother, and amazing skin. Oh, Baja Sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies, giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711. Or visit us online at www.baharetreat.com.
Attention all students in grade 4 through 12. You think you know about money? Well, the Central Bank of the Bahamas is giving you a chance to prove it and win cash in the 2021 Get Money Smart Bahamas Video Essay Competition. Can you tell us why you think the Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services? If you can, just produce a short video submission before October 22nd and show us you are money smart. Cash prizes will be given in various age categories, but you must get your parents' permission to enter. For more information, visit www.getmoneysmartbahamas.com or see our post on social media.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahasha Black.
Hey,
it's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahasha Black.
Hey,
it's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahasha Black.
Hey,
it's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahasha Black.
We're back. You're listening to the Hit Back with Nahasha Black. We got some callers on the line. I want to welcome my co-host, good friend, Sia Inuri, joining me on the show. Caller, you're on the Hit Back. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Black.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yes. I want to share this with you and your co-host from about last week.
Mm-hmm.
In 94, my God speak to me. He said to me, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Okay, that was real. Mm-hmm. That was real. I was in my yard raking the yard with some leaves and things, and that's what when he speak to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, you remember when America was having their election?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Black?
Yep.
It had to be God sent an angel. Angel, it's only my one in my house. My one. I was at the light, the current went off. My room was hot. I came up front, and I was lying down on my back in the couch, one hand across my chest and the next hand to my side. And it was about 5:38 that Sunday morning. Mrs. Black, this thing was just waiting for me to lie back down. And guess what? The TV was on watching the election. So I mm-hmm. said to myself, I say, let me turn this TV off. I say, because I could watch it again Sunday morning or any time. As soon as I lie back down, Mrs. Black and Mr. Nuri, this thing's come hold my right arm now. And it starts to massage my chest, and it was weird, and then I catch myself, I said, it's only my one inside this house, and I break away from it,
mm-hmm.
and I run down the hallway, and I call in my nephew now, my nephew don't live inside of my house, just my one, God and me, and I call into him, I say, Sherilyn, I say, somebody inside the house, Mrs. Black, it was an angel God sent to massage me. Yes. And uh-huh. I told everybody that story. I'm 86 years of age, and I'm still going strong.
Amen.
I am still going strong, Mrs. Black. We got to mm-hmm. trust God. Mrs.
Yes.
Black, we have to trust God. We have to call
yes,
on him. Mrs. Black. I don't go nowhere. My nephew, he go and shop for my groceries, pay my bills and things, and whatever. Every Sunday he come and he bring my dinner and he take dinner for my 92 year old oldest brother. He's 92. He did take down the shot. He did take it. Mm-hmm. He is good.
Good.
There's nothing wrong with him. We have to seek God, Mrs. Black and Mr. Nouri. We got to talk to God. God is waiting on us.
Yes, ma'am.
So I could say that God sent an angel to massage my chest. I felt the hand on my chest. I felt it. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the call, ma'am.
Yes,
you're a blessing.
You too. Yes.
We got another call on the line before we get to our next segment. Caller, you're on the hit back. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, Asha, and good afternoon to your guests here, Nuri.
Good afternoon.
And Black Bahamas. Listen, Asha, you have done such a splendid job at trying to educate Bahamian people by way of this COVID-19, even to the extent that you took the time out to get that doctor all the way from South Africa. And he did two shows in two consecutive days. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do, I agree with you, is something need to be said. Do you believe in yourself? We need to elevate ourselves to the point where the recommendation that you said that UB should have already done this from last year. UB, with the technical experts, we're supposed to have already sent doctors off to other parts of the world, the United States, and the like, to understudy this disease. This is important. We can't be losing 18 and 20 people over a weekend. That is totally unacceptable. The minister responsible for health needed to call a press conference ASAP immediately with the medical profession, because he has just got there. He's the policy maker. He needs to bring the people in who are doing the work in the field, get to find out what is really going on, and so the people could be aware why are we having these constant spikes. We know about the situation in Inagua with respect to illegal immigration. He ruled that out, but there are several other factors involved. We can't be having death at this alarming rate. It is totally unacceptable. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much for the call. Boy, listen, we are 2 years... Well, almost. I think March 2022 will be 2 years. So we're about 18 months into this thing, Cecil. And I don't think we've actually gotten worse with handling it, right? Because we've seen deaths jump from 180 in March to 626 now. And how many months is that, right? So we've seen our biggest toll in the last 6 months.
So definitely, beginning of this year, the COVID virus changed for us, or how we react to the virus changed for us. At the beginning of this, we had a system and had a plan, and it seems as if at the beginning of this year, something changed. And that change is permeating throughout the year, and we continue to go through some hard times. But this is what I recommend for the government to do. We need to return to that spectrum where if this is happening now, we would be implementing this particular type of plan. If we reach this particular stage,
we need to find
stage three and so on. We need to go back to that initial plan to know when is it time to lock down a place.
Wasn't that the Canadian one? The Canadian plan?
It was in Canada, and we abandoned it. We abandoned it early, or at least late last year. And we may need to reconsider and bring that back to the fore on when is it time to lock down an island. When the numbers are too high. Mm-hmm. I want to recommend that. I also would like to recommend support. If Inagua is impacted with COVID, to that 40 to 60% of the island has been impacted with COVID, either have the virus or exposed, that means government needs to have some type of support system to get these people off the streets in terms of getting food to them and supplies to them, right? Or that's one, I haven't heard any conversation about that. Then I need to have a conversation about a regimen. What should they, because you know you don't go to, unless you have symptoms, one, or unless mm-hmm. you take sick, have problems breathing, that's the only way reason you go to the hospital.
Yep.
But if you're home with COVID, what should you be doing, right? I don't hear that conversation from either natural remedies, from medication, how you should be taking care of yourself. So it does not proliferate that you need to go to the hospital. I haven't heard that conversation as yet also, right? And these are the conversation they need, especially in smaller communities, especially in these family island communities. They need to be having, oh yes, and also they need to have some kind of mental health specialist to go down to Inagua, Long Island, and Eleuthera to start speaking to these people. Because hearing a neighbor down the road dying, husband and wife dying, you say, okay, I don't know them people. But in a small community of Inagua, hearing a husband and wife team to transition, that impacts the entire island, right? Yeah. So surely they need support, emotional support on how do they deal with it, you know? So I want to hear that conversation also.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I agree with you on that. I think we have another caller, so let's get to the caller there. Caller, you're on the head back. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Okay. Yeah, we need to start as a country, right? Those who are in charge of the healthcare system, they need to start checking out the relationship between the vaccinated and the amount of deaths that are occurring nowadays. Because it seems like the higher our vaccination rate goes, the higher our death goes. And also, like your guest said just now, that's one thing I was calling about. Preventative stuff. If I start the initial stage of COVID, let me take some medication to kill it dead before it takes over my body and then kills me. And also, the different strains are coming from not only, I mean, I would say, the different strains are coming from those who are vaccinated because the virus is trying to live. So it's trying to mutate in them because they so-called have the so-called vaccine in them. So when it goes to them, COVID-19 comes out, some other thing. So we unvaccinated people should be very afraid of the vaccinated set of people. That's the way it should be.
Well, you know, I hope y'all ain't too afraid of me, but I'll tell you what, I keep my mask on.
Yeah, I mean, I keep my mask on too and everything, right? I mean, common sense still is the rule of the day. Because those who are vaccinated, why be afraid? And think about it, if you check stuff now, the last time I did my homework, those who are vaccinated are now going on third and fourth shots because the vaccination they have now is not for the new strains that are coming out.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, we do know now that the vaccine itself loses efficacy, right? And again, I will say this, I saying vaccine for me now after so much information is difficult for me to say vaccine. I want to say the jab now, right? Caller, thank you so much. I definitely want to thank you for the call. I will say this though, there are things that you know, and having Dr. Chetty and Dr. Bethel on, before they were on, and I want to say this, because it's not Dr. Chetty and just Dr. Bethel. Before I spoke with them, I was speaking with other, you would be surprised, many of you would be surprised of all of the physicians I've spoken to, who themselves in the system do not follow or believe what, and when I say whatever, they question as researchers themselves, things that are presented by the CDC and WHO. And what they question isn't the process. It is really, okay, but how can you call this a vaccine if it doesn't do X, Y, and Z? It is a treatment. It is a therapy, right? Why don't we understand? Why is COVID behaving the way it is? Because, this influenza-type virus, this SARS virus doesn't behave this way. So there must be something more. So when you have someone like Dr. Chetty and Bethel saying this, it's biphasic, it makes it interesting. But what we do know is that it has and it does offer an option, right? Listen, this whole thing where everybody gonna die, we're gonna have to watch and see. Because everybody who I know who's taken it, I don't know anyone in my circle who's taken it, who's died, who has fallen ill, right? I tell people my experience with it was the first jab, it was terrible. I mean, terrible. I just, Lord, God, that was just rough. I have a friend who took Pfizer and she was out down for 2 weeks. And then last week she had to take the second dose. I'm like, Jesus, can you just recover?
right? So that's, but we all still here, right? Like, I so minus, and I say minus my, the one person who I knew, and speaking with other physicians out there, they're telling me about the breakthrough cases, that that is something that we're not discussing as well. Persons who are fully vaccinated and are getting COVID and are breakthrough. I had one doctor said that she sent two patients who were fully vaccinated to the hospital. So, but that's out of how many, right? So it isn't foolproof. I just don't want people to think that the vaccine is a cure. It is not a cure. It is to aid you. And it will be something, that's for me, it starts to lose me when y'all start talking booster. And I was like, hold on, is this really a vaccine? How many boosters I need with my vaccine shot in regular? But it is helpful. My problem is people think that it's a cure. So now we dollar whining and to parties, right? You carrying on like you immune to something. That's my issue. And so now everybody's like, I'm fully vaccinated. Is that's your reason for close contact, no mask? And I'm like with everybody else, I'm tired of masks. I'm tired of all of those things. Since we ain't have no plan on stopping people from getting in the hospital and the only thing is the jab, apparently that's what we got to do. Y'all gonna be wearing masks into 2020. This is it. 2040. We running from SARS-CoV-2. There's this whole COVID-19, whatever the hell it is. My whole life could be wearing masks. I can't even dance with my husband in public without a mask on. I rebuke that thought. I rebuke it. Cecil, I just need, I personally, I need a break from all of this. I really do. Again, I need a break. Oh, it's well past that time. Apparently, I have to go to break. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. We'll be back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and up. What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I've got some pretty good text messages and I've got, some comments I got to share with you all. I've got my good friend, C.A. Nuri, joining me today. C.A., my boy, always good to have you on. Happy Monday.
It's a great Monday to be on. It's a different day than Friday, but I'm here all the same.
Yeah, I dressed my Friday dressing.
Yes, and I see you're in pink. I show off Friday is pink day.
Well, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so,
it's
you know.
The entire month, okay.
Yeah, just any day, just show up in pink. Just show up in pink. Yeah.
I look good in pink.
Yeah, well, there you go. Real men wear pink, right?
Yeah.
So we've got, today discussing really the government's response to COVID-19.
Or lack thereof.
Or the lack thereof, right? I want to read some of that as well, but I want to get to some of these text messages that we started to get, and some really good text messages. Nahaja, you know, there is an out-of-the-box idea and solution against serious illness and death to almost 97% effectiveness, and it's the vaccine. What other remedy has that success rate for the lowest cost? It's not 100%, but what in life has a 100% surety? Not even a condom or birth control is 100% effective. You ain't got to tell me. We have to use what we have for the most value for the majority of people, right? So I get what you're saying. Also, there is concern about folks with allergic reactions to the vaccine, the spike proteins, et cetera, but there's no data right now. I think that they're not doing that. Oh, by the way, one something else that we aren't discussing, right? So as a side note, I spoke with a pediatrician in a way. Not here, in a state in the U.S. that is having a lot of child
deaths to COVID, right? It's a lot of, you know, this, this just dying, children dying of COVID-19. And, but of course the vaccine is rolled out. And there's this article by the CDC that was talking about myocarditis. It's an issue of the heart that is a side effect for some predominantly young men. So from 21 to 15, they did the study, and that there could be this issue with the heart, right? And I realized that we're giving Pfizer to children, and I haven't heard any sort of warning on that to parents to say, if you see that your child is having some issues with, you know, breathing, activity, et cetera, that they should seek medical assistance. Like, we're not, for me, you know, I would like to know this. And I think knowing, I think what might be happening with some information too is, okay, consider this, Cecil. If you know right now, you're better off with everyone taking the jab than not, right? If you're in the health sector, we need everybody to take the jab. That will help us, you know, unclog the issues in the hospital. If you have cases, though, where, especially where folks have hesitancy, right? Don't want to take this jab. And have a right to not want to take it. There's a risk everyone takes. If you take it, you don't take it, it's up to you. It's fine. I wonder if it is, if I tell folks that we might have had one or two deaths from people who are vaccinated, it would confirm to their bias and all hell break loose, so we won't tell them. And I stand in the position of, I feel you, but I guess for me, everybody has a right to know, and you make the decision based on all of the information that's before you. So I agree that, hey, right now it is the most effective way right now, based on the fact that we're not doing any other sort of research. We're not allowing anything else. But you can't say Dr. Kevin Bethelain been doing his thing. You can't say that Dr. Chetty and his 6,500, 7,000 patients ain't real. 7,000 patients, I don't know what else to say to that, but we got a lot more text messages. Your thoughts, Cecil?
I also want to commend the government by this new heading. Didn't die of COVID, but had COVID, or something to that effect. That's a new heading, a subtitle, and I appreciate it. I'm not quite sure what it means, but I understand what it headed towards, that the person did not die from COVID.
Because of COVID, but they died with COVID.
Yes.
Right? And I wonder, that needs more elaboration, you know.
Yes,
so when did you determine? Did I come into the hospital with, say, God help me, stage 4 cancer, and I was being treated for that? But when I died because of the lack of you know, pressure, you know, sealed environment, you know, these sealed environments, that means that COVID was in the air and I got COVID. I inevitably died, but it wasn't COVID that killed me. Is that, you know, that's what we need to find out. How are people dying with COVID, but not from COVID? How do you determine that? When did you determine that? Were there no cascading events of COVID? Because right now, your part of us still can't understand why we get cerebral hemorrhaging from COVID. So how do you know what it didn't cause? You know, so I have a lot of questions when people say that, okay, I came in for a broken hip and ended up with COVID and died. Yes. But it wasn't because of COVID. It was the hip.
All right. Like you said, when did they find it out? And how does that affect the numbers prior?
Yeah, 153 died with COVID, not from COVID. That's in the list so far. Let me make sure, because that number, I think it's 53 right now, who are in the investigated list, and I think it's 100 and something.
And I also would like to commend the government on partnering with the Ministry of National Security and have police officers support police officers go down to the family island to help with these quarantine measures and enforcing the law. I know you can't be arrested for it, but I mean, at least they can direct some traffic and say, okay, you know, you should be inside. I can't arrest you.
I can't arrest you, but go inside. I don't make that make sense. Yeah. Don't make no sense.
I
can't arrest you, but go inside. Mm. And what do I arrest? If you don't go inside, what happens? I just lie and say you slap me or attack a police officer. And then I...
Extra support. It's extra support.
Okay. We got a caller on the line, and then we got some more text messages. Callie, you're on the head back. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
This is my first time calling in. I've been listening to you for weeks, and I wanted to call in to just give my 2 cents. In December of 2019, I was in the mall at Marathon during the Santa Claus situation, you know, when you carry kids to see Santa. This lady came up, and she's like, boy, I'm so happy to be here. This is the first time I've been out in like 2 or 3 weeks. I was sick as a dog, talking in my face and whatnot. Within 2 days, I was sick as a dog. I thought I had come to my last day of life at home. About 2 days after that, my husband got sick, and he had the same issue. So we were sick really, really bad up until like the end of December. Doing research, we came across this virus that was happening in Wuhan, and bam, COVID-19 was here by March 19th. So I said that to say, by the time we had the experience of COVID-19, I guess we were so hyper-conscious of germs and, you know, because we were sick home by ourselves with our 2 kids, trying to keep them separate from us so that they would not have gotten it. So we were hyper-conscious. We were, like, one of the first set of people wearing masks. When we were going in the store, people were staring at us like, hey, what's going on here? We were Lysoling and bleaching down and spraying from head to toe, groceries and all that sort of thing. So this is something that we kind of, that were forced into. I don't know that we would have been so hypersensitive to it had we not had that, like, it was like a near-death experience for us.
Yeah. Wow. And from December.
From December, we had that experience. And for us, we were like, oh, hold on, this had to have been the same thing. I went and I got tests, but there's nothing left in my system to have said that there was any connection there. So, you know, there are people out there that are dealing with anxiety, and I just want to say to them that are dealing with this, you know, it takes a lot, but when you go into these environments, just be as patient as you can and as calm as you can and still be as cautious as you can. I decided to, even with all of my anxiety dealing with it, go and be on the front lines and help with the vaccination. Wow. And I was afraid at first, but I did my own research. I love to research, and I did my own research, and I cross-referenced. I'm like, you know, this disease is killing you. Let's improve the possibility of surviving it. You know, the virus, the vaccination, is, as you said, is not a cure. And some people are acting as if it is a cure. You don't have to wear your mask. You don't have to keep 6 feet away from everyone. And I've been homeschooling my kids now since November, because I've been cautious of them being in that environment and subjecting other people or being, you know, silent carriers or whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just have to know that every decision we make as individuals has a collective impact. And to care enough about our brothers and sisters, you know, we like to holler during hurricane season. We're a Christian nation. We need to be a Christian nation all year round. We are only going to be able to fight this disease together. We may have this virus together. We may live with it for many years to come, as we are living with flu that once killed people, a lot of people, as we are still living with Ebola that is, and, you know, polio and all that sort of stuff. We may have to live with it for a while, but we also have to do our part to keep each other safe. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate the call. Thank you. I'm glad that you and your husband are well.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Take care.
Thank you. And, you know, one of the good things, of course, like you said, she's on the front line, She's still helping with the vaccinations. Got to appreciate that. A lot of folks are saying that December 2019, they themselves were on the front line as well. Okay, we got to take I have to do better with the breaks, and I appreciate my producer because I've been terrible with taking my breaks, CA. But we got something else we want to discuss also on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We will be back right after.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Sugar, sugar, let's get a sugar break.
softer, smoother, and amazing skin. Oh, Baja Sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies, giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711 or visit us online at www.baharetreat.com.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
Calling all HR professionals. It's Human Resources Professionals Week. Join us for the 41st Annual BSHRM Conference and Expo, Friday, October 29th, 2021. Hear from our 18 industry-leading speakers, enjoy lunch powered by Craven, visit exhibitors in our virtual expo, and so much more. To learn more, email us at conferencebsherm@gmail.com. We'll see you at BSHRM Conference 2021.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's the hit back,
hey,
with the hash of black.
Hey.
It's the hit back,
hey,
with the hash of black.
Hey.
It's the hit back,
hey,
with the hash of black.
Hey.
It's the hit back,
hey,
with the hash of black.
You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Special thanks again to everyone who's tuning in, who's watching us live on YouTube or Facebook. I don't know how you could do it on and or Facebook. You can only watch it on one at a time. Facebook, YouTube, or listening via, of course, the one and only Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you're using the Guardian Radio app, if you are using TuneIn, if you are in your car, in your office, thank you guys so much. First time callers, I love you, appreciate you. We have my good friend always joining us, my good friend CA Nuri. CA, darling, welcome to the show.
It's always good to be here, Nahaja.
Someone says, "CA, they love." They said, "This is it." Now, and I have to watch out for these people who's be listening to the show, you know, because I want you to know. I had a voice message come to me, yeah? And the person in the voice message said, please tell Nahaja and CA I love their show. When did it become their show? I have you on too much.
It's okay? A team. We're a team, Nahaja.
Their show.
And shout out to Cat Island and Bimini. They said that the Nahaja and Cecil show. They mentioned what? That also. They came down to a funeral. And they did mention that.
And Nahaja, I said, I have a show now. Cecil so, show?
Yeah.
I really have to let you go. I gotta let you go. I gotta let you go. You're becoming too much of a fixture. You know?
I shall see you Friday.
See me Friday, buddy. I say, it's their show. Kind of Negro. And then worse than that, right? Now it sounds like I might have to slip you a slow 10. I mean, what is that? No, you don't get
I
paid.
I like 20s. It says they don't issue that out no more in the bank. I need 20s. No slow 10.
I can go to that RBC ATM and get that for you.
Yeah.
go right there and pay you right from that ATM. Just wait for it. Wait for it.
I'll be waiting all right. A week.
Oh. someone said his head's swelling. You're right, his head's swelling. Is his head big? Already big.
I is a star.
Yeah, say Cecil have to stay. Listen, see?
I now have fans. The Nahaja okay, like and Cecil show. And I think Larissa my name should go first.
Team Cecil, Nahaja.
Cecil and the Nahaja show.
You're a Negro, eh? You just like a man. Now you won't go first.
I should go first.
No.
Okay. It just sounds better. It has it rolls off the tongue better.
Right, the CA and Nahaja show.
Yeah.
No.
But I just start with my full name. We can forget the CA initials no more. Cecil.
Gotta shut the whole thing
down. In fact, Cecil Nuri show with his guest, Nahaja Black. Might as well go whole hog.
I need to get you a logo then. We need to switch the whole intro song and everything.
All together. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't even name it Hit Back anymore.
Yeah, work with that. Work on that.
I got you. I have to work on you getting the show.
Yes. I'll provide a jingle. I'm thinking in my head now, I'm going to have my own jingle.
Yeah, look at that. Look at Greta.
See, look at Greta.
You guys are a dynamic duo. Oh, Greta.
Speak it into existence, Greta.
Greta, so on timeout. I got timeout, Greta. All right. My good friend CA Nuri joining me on the show. Yes, Esther, CA taking over. CA just rude. They just always in your space. You can't give them one good compliment. I tell you. It's a good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody. So we got some text messages I want to get to before we switch gears. Someone get a great text. You know, I said, one of my things is I don't necessarily like being the smartest in the group. Right? I don't like being the smartest in the group. If I'm the smartest in the group, I'm not learning. That's my thing, right? But someone sent a text and said, you can grow despite being the smartest one in the room. When you develop others who may be less smart than you, you grow as a leader. Well, yeah, no, I get you. I definitely. And I was talking about learning, you know, like I figured that out when I was in school. I remember I was in a study group and the study group could not help me, right? And so I was strategic. And I went in the study group with a bunch of Asians, right? And I was like, boy, these Chinese gonna help me. And buddy, they were super smart. Only problem was I couldn't understand half of what they were saying. So they were smart, but it was better when they wrote stuff down than when they said it. So then I went to an African group, which was much better for me. And so, I mean, no offense to the Canadians and Bahamians I knew, but it was the Chinese and the Africans for me who was smarter. Just shout out to Mother Africa and to the continent of Asia. Just showing up. But I learned then, if I wouldn't study, you know, yeah, I was smart myself. The Asians, just, I couldn't understand what they were saying, but thank God for my African friends. But we digress. And they're right. If you're the smartest one in the group, wrong group, right? See, so you ever do that before? You ever switch groups? I got groups.
I don't work well in teams. I tend to do all the work by myself and then turn it in.
What?
Yep. It's quicker.
Yeah. Thank you, Shanali. Shanali said, if I give you an inch, he has best given us this thought. He's definitely been given this thought, Shanali. He's really been trying to take over for a while. All right. So let's move on. Something else. Crypto group, you learn it. Yes, but the crypto group, and I have a friend who's going to come on, the same friend here. I'm in a crypto group, Cecil. I am indeed the dumbest one in this group. It's without a doubt. I am the dumbest one in this group. I am the least of these. And so I must stay because there's nowhere else I'm going to get smarter than in this group. I like crypto. You ever thought of it?
You make any money yet?
Yeah, man. What do you mean?
I'm watching you.
I'm making money now. I don't sleep. I'm making money in my crypto. Now, it is be scary. It is be real scary sometimes. Because it's these ebbs and flows. But you don't put money in there. If you're afraid to watch it go, I watch my money dip down almost to $500. $500. And I say, sweet Jesus. You know? I was like, I'm in. Hold on. And now it's back up. God is good. I'm a happy woman now. I can breathe a little bit. So we digress. Anyway. So let's move on before we go on. So I just wanted, you know, overall, back to something a bit serious. CA Nuri joining me on the show. I definitely the minister speaking with the minister of health, he said that he will be making a major statement on the address of after the address of the prime minister when the house opens, right? So my thing is that was a little far, right? That has to do with apparently structural changes. So apparently that's the meaty, nuggety one after the prime minister's address on the 27th. That's next week. Definitely this week, like today, right, or tomorrow morning, there needs to be a major press conference with all necessary persons in the room. I think we're well past that point now where we don't have it. And I anticipate, or I believe that it has to happen, that we have to, we can't have this level of deaths and nobody's talking about it. You can't have it. And then the people in Eleuthera, in Agua, I know the minister's been doing a lot of, you know, a lot of touring, a lot of island to island, you know, checking out stuff. And all of that is good and dandy.
A lot of structural promises too. We get more hospitals and more being announced. I don't know where we're getting the money from, but we get some good announcements.
Are they considered good? Listen, I got no energy for all of that. But how? My energy is low, you know. My energy is low. I need mental health. I need free mental health therapy because my energy dead low. You know, it's like you're running into this brick wall all the time. Anyways, let's switch gears here, CA. Someone says 500. I can't risk that kind of money. Ciao, Paulette. You should see where it starts. Oh, Jesus. Lord, when Bitcoin dropped to $33,000, all of my insides dropped with it. Then I had Ethereum, Cardano, Matic. I got all kinds of things I know nothing about in this group where I was the dumbest one. And all they said was, hold on. Whole other story. So trying to focus on work, losing money, but we moving on. Anyways, CA, let's switch gears. Something that's that's also in the news now, CA. Tribune had a big headline, right? I ran for my country and I feel left behind. Ramon Miller, right? Ramon Miller, former 4x1 champion, right? Former 4x1 champion. Found himself now, you know, feeling left behind. That's what he said. You know, he's got a home. And this is one of home given, 4x1 relay team. Now, everybody remember this is one of the most epic sports things you've ever seen. The most epic, right? Yeah, you're right, Dayon. Hold on for dear life. I've been hodling. One of these, Ramon Miller was the guy who ran him down, if you remember that. You remember that, right, Cecil?
I do.
2012, when no one saw us winning that 4x1 relay. Ramon Miller said, I will not be denied. Ramon Miller, who trains at home, who was only one of those gentlemen training at home, lived in the Bahamas, finished that race. Nobody knew who this fellow was. Like 10 people, all his family and the 10 people in track and field. Ramon Miller, though, came and did his thing, won that race, was heralded as a champion. God bless him, was given this beautiful piece of property out there in Tropical Gardens and great area. And since that time, he's built on the land and cannot get any sort of infrastructure. And this is not for lack of him trying. This is not for lack of him seeking to, get infrastructure, right? Based on what he said in the article, he was told that he could get infrastructure. He was also of the mindset, why wouldn't I be able to get infrastructure? Homes are around me. What is the problem with getting infrastructure? He can't get light. He can't get water. And he was never told, he says, at any point in his building process, even when he went through inspections, that, oh, hey, Mr. Miller, you mightn't be able to get X, Y, and Z. No point, right? And he said that, hey, he, you know, spoke to Perry Gladstone Christie, the former prime minister, also Dr. Minnis. And I guess now he's trying to reach out to, but for God's sake, I got a whole personal story I could tell about how difficult it is to get utilities once you've even embarked and you got the proper planning, you've got the license. Some people got business license, CA, they go to town planning, they get everything they need, only for BPL to tell them after they've spent all of this money to get a license, after you put in all the facilities necessary, done the electrical, BPL says, sorry, we can't put any electricity. Businesses that ain't even stock. Okay, but again, I digress. What do you think of this entire story? My whole thing is I think it's sad.
It is sad.
That you can get through a whole process.
Naj, I have mixed feelings about it. I have mixed feelings, but I understand where he's coming from. My point is the government promise you free land. Didn't mention about no infrastructure.
You can get what you're supposed to do with the land if you can't make it into something.
You're gonna sell it.
Who would buy it if it can't be built on? Land is supposed to be developed.
People buy keys, but don't have nothing on it all the time. My thing is, I want to know is it that he cannot get it or he doesn't want to pay for it?
And that's why it's not because he doesn't want to pay for it. He can pay for it.
I'm sure if he's paid for a transformer, he can get electricity.
And no, that's not the case. And so you would think that that's the case, Cecil. You really would think that that's the case. He has, and we're going to, say this is one time I agree with you. I agree. If it was the case where he was asking for infrastructure and not paying, that would be one thing. His thing is he cannot get it. He's not been able to get it, period, right? He's not been able to get anything for it, regardless of who all he's reached out to. And I want to, so what he said here in his article, right? He said the home was completed in 2018. This is the article written by Krishna Russell for the Tribune. Despite following all of the correct procedures and seeking to have lamp poles for electricity and water. Let me put it on the screen too so that everyone who's watching can see. All right. Because I think that this is an interesting story. And I don't think it's one that's different and unique to us. I think that this happens all the time. Honestly, I really think that this is something that happens all the time. So he says, Iran, and I don't know if you could really see it. No. So we'll try and see if we could see it. Said, Iran, despite following all the correct procedures and seeking to have lamp poles for electricity and water infrastructure placed, Mr. Miller said there has been roadblock after roadblock. He said there has been no movement despite him writing to former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis for intervention. He said he also spoke to Dr. Minnis in person on one occasion and had two in-person meetings with former Prime Minister Perry Christie. He said he was also in contact with former Works Minister Desmond Bannister. He also questioned both the Water and Sewage Corporation and Bahamas Power and Light utilities, to have utilities put in place. Due to this dilemma, he has had to have a water well installed and continuously runs a diesel generator at a cost of $250 per week. All right, CA. All right, $250 per week. It is a sacrifice, he says, he makes so that his children can do their assignments. He said, I decided to go through the process of building. Mr. Miller said of the months after receiving the property, I got all of my permits. I went through the proper channels. I got all of the documents. I got the permit number. I got the foundation approved, my roof approved, plumbing approved. Who doesn't want to put their family in their dream home? And of course, utilizing the gift that the government gave and go for it. Of course, I could have ventured off and bought a home, but I wanted to show the Bahamian people that I appreciated the gift that they gave me. And building something here, it showed that, hey, I am making my statement here. Initially, the process was smooth sailing, and at no point in time did anyone reveal there could be issues getting the needed infrastructure put in place. Mr. Miller said there are homes with water and light about 200 feet away from his house. No one said anything of that sort. I got the permit and started the building process. I built the foundation, and nobody ever came to me and said, I don't think that is a good idea to build back there because it may be hard or difficult. But I'm thinking why it should be hard or difficult if this is a gift from the Bahamas. He says he completed it, hoping it would motivate officials to do what was needed. But it has been roadblock after roadblock, and I've tried every avenue. He said, I was willing to foot the cost as best as possible, but like I said, roadblock after roadblock, right? So what are your thoughts just on that commentary alone on CA?
It sounds sad. I mean, very unfortunate, especially when you're writing to the chairman of Water Sewage, the Minister of Water and Sewage, responsible for Water and Sewage, BPL, and nobody is responding to you. You then go to the prime ministers in plural, yep, and no one is responding. You get disheartened, right? And I don't know what to say. I guess I would recommend that you get a lawyer and sue.
Yeah. I mean, and really, though? Really? Like, we have to sue? For God's sake, man, really? And worse is, I got the land from you. You know what it is? You get the land from, like, the top. from the top.
The land was endorsed to him. That's his land.
Yes.
He got what we promised. He got the land.
Yes. Okay. And then you get the land in the so they gave you the land in space. Did they give you the land in NASA? Like on the moon? Is that why now you should have come with reasonable expectations?
On the land. We did our part.
His property is in the Bahamas. Forget the Bahamas. It's in New Providence.
Yes.
Where there should not be any place in New Providence where you cannot get utilities. Okay? Unless you live in the inner city where permanently they don't want to give you utilities. But we digress. All right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio, 96.9. Someone says, sue who? That's right. Who you sue? Who you sue? We'll be back.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions. Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Other than skin cancer, breast cancer is the most common cancer in women. Breast cancer is also the second leading cause of cancer death in women, after lung cancer. Can you help? Yes, you can. You can encourage women to take steps to help lower their risk of developing breast cancer and help find it early when it might be easy to treat. You can also help connect women facing breast cancer to patient programs and services they might need throughout their treatment. We encourage you to share these messages during Breast Cancer Awareness Month and throughout the year. 2021 has been a powerful reminder that we are all in this together, and our choices and actions have the power to protect the most vulnerable among us in a big way. By working together, we can inspire hope and become a force for good and help create greater awareness during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. To participate in our upcoming supplement, be sure to contact Guardian Media's advertising department today. Or your account executive.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahaja Black.
And we're back. You're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My good friend Sia and Yuri joining me. We got two callers on the line. Let's see if we can get these callers on the show. Caller, you're on the Hit Back. Welcome.
Good evening, lady and gentlemen.
Good evening.
Well, I had an opportunity of connecting with somebody who wrote about the promised gold. And the promised gold came after the Sydney Olympics.
Yes.
And as far as I know, people are saying that you should put some pressure on whoever it was to have it come through. And as far as I know, the Golden Girls didn't get theirs, and nobody has gotten theirs. I may be, maybe I don't understand it. And for all intents and purposes, people are saying that somebody needs to put some kind of pressure on it, because if the land is no good, the land is no good. And we have to find a way to make it good or have property someplace else. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you. Is this Hawk? Is this Hawk?
And it's the 4x4, by the way.
4x4. Thank you. 4x4, not a 4x1. Thank you, Hawk. Hawk Finlayson, one of the greatest with his show here on Guardian as well. Thanks so much, Hawk. We got
It is concerning that he mentioned that nobody got their reward. I am a little bit concerned about that. What you mean by did not get it?
Promised gold. I think it's something else too, because I know there's others who got their property. So I think it's something else when he said, and I actually let Paul go without clarifying that, but I think it was something else too that was almost also promised as well. No one has been able to develop on their land because the land was never good. No land was ever good. All land have been where there's very little to infrastructure. Man, listen here. Let me just say this and I can be straight. Okay? We doing a better land deal out there on Sanford Drive for all citizenry, for this the young executives, than we did for our athletes. That is prime space in real estate. Our athletes should have been put in prime space real estate, because we understand there's something, okay, if you're a person who's interested in progress development, you know, one of the greatest sources of wealth in this country is in real estate. Why? Because you can look at the levels of inflation. What does land cost? Try to get rent now in a two-bedroom apartment versus just 2 years or a couple years before the pandemic, right? Just go from 2019, before the pandemic, to 2021, and the cost of a two-bedroom unit or one-bedroom unit has skyrocketed, and that's just rental. Now try to buy land in just a mid-range community, then go further west. So the fact that we have athletes who never got prime land, and but it's land. So we say, okay, well, you got land. Oh, yeah, that's great. But land has to be able to be developed. Even if it is for resale, you have to sell a land that can be developed. People buy land to hold it. Yeah. But there's no value if you cancel it on land. It's never used. And what we're hearing from Mr. Miller is he got land that is worth nothing if it cannot be developed or used. Even with his house on it, he cannot get value or return even on the house built, as long as there is no infrastructure. If you cannot get light and you cannot get water, you have nothing. You wasted thousands of dollars. So he is upside down in value right now. For anyone who will tell you, if he cannot get infrastructure, that was not a gift. That was rock. And rock cannot even be speculated with, like the Chinese do in Grand Bahama with tens of thousands of pieces of land to speculate, or like all of the foreigners who buy keys to speculate and then never develop. He can't even have that option. So for me, this is very disappointing for someone who really won a race that nobody saw coming. And this was right after we watched our boy Levan San, Superman. Yeah, Superman. Right? This is after, yeah, when we lost Superman to a knee injury, and we thought that was it. This is it. And then comes the 4x4. So, you know, come on, man. Put the ball in there.
The good thing is we have a caring prime minister. I believe if he reaches out to Philip Davis, that Mr. Davis is going to intervene and make such things happen.
Well, I mean, the former prime minister said that it was, you know, something was supposed to have been done. And
Type of prime minister.
We got a call on the line. Caller, you're on the hit bag. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just calling to the Haja and see you in the show. So, I heard your feedback from the article, and I think some of the language there is unclear.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work at the former power company. Oftentimes, people with land, sometimes they are the first through the community or one of the last in the community, and sometimes the cost of infrastructure to get to that resident may be cost prohibitive. I don't think this is a case where he's not allowed to have electricity. So I think further questioning may need to go into that, if you understand what I'm saying. So I don't think
this is a case of
one of those things where, oh, electricity is not allowed on the property. That I don't think that is the case. I think based on where the property probably is, from the last transformer, from the poles and the lines, the cost for him to run electricity to his home, it may be cost prohibitive. Not that the land cannot access those utilities. So I think further investigation, that may be the way to go.
And I love that you said that. I want to read this before you go in because I want to get your thoughts on it. So he says here, I even told them I would pay for the lampposts and go away and see if I can bring them in instead of running a generator all the time because it's costly. I was willing to foot the cost as best as possible, but like I said, roadblock after roadblock. Recently, and they said, okay, his generator went off, blah, blah, blah. He goes on to say, it doesn't make me feel good. He said, I must say, neither do I feel wanted or appreciated. When contacted for comment, Dr. Minnis told this newspaper that a contract was approved for infrastructure. However, it is unclear why the infrastructure has not been in place. Attempts to secure comments from other officials were fruitless yesterday. I definitely know the cost of infrastructure is expensive. $16,000, some people have quoted, $6,000 for something.
Much more than that.
Infrastructure is expensive. Say again?
But see, here's the language. He said he was willing to foot the cost, I think, I'm not sure, but the word was somewhat, and bring the poles in from away. That's not how it works. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
The cost is, here's the cost of the poles, here's the cost of the line, and if we need a next transformer, here's the cost of the transformer, here's the cost of the labor, and bang. Now, by him saying he is willing to bring some poles in from away, to me, I think there was a capital cost that just was too much to bear, that oftentimes, to most customers' defense, you find this out way at the end of the process. So I'm firmly, not knowing the situation, not knowing where the line is, I firmly believe that the cost to run, to get electricity to his home is just very expensive. Not that this land, any land, Nahaj, if you go in the back of, behind a swamp, you will get a quote to get electricity there. You might not want to pay that for where it has to run from, but you are going to get, once the Ministry of Works approve it, BPL people come up there, and they approve the meter can set up,
and
you
that's
are
what
going
I know,
to get electricity.
Right? Yeah.
So
you're
I just
right.
think, I think it's one of those things that his plot of land is so far off from the last established place with electricity that it just costs too much. So I think you could find it out, because it's unlike, if he could build on the land is not useless. And if he could build on it and he could get approval to build, and I'm pretty sure it went through the right channels, he clearly can't get electricity. It's just, I'm assuming, that it costs too much to get the lines run to him.
And I appreciate this call so much, because I think we need that level of clarity. There's no place where you can't get infrastructure. It got to be where it is a cost thing.
Right.
Yeah, I appreciate you. But you're the best.
I'm doing a great job, man. I follow you all the time. You're doing a great job, but I think one of your best moves is to have a fellow soccer on the show, so I just had to put that out there, and I'm going to continue listening to you guys.
1 minute. I was so sure I should have cut that call. As soon as you said you had an extra thought, I felt a cut in the spirit. Oh, suckers, I swear. Thank you, buddy. I swear. Gotta be that. That's it, Cecil. You on timeout. People like you too much. They losing focus. Someone, what did Leslie said? Nonsense. Infrastructure can be solar electricity and wells. Land is the estate. Is real, except real estate. Land is the estate. is real excited. I get what she's saying. I get what she's saying. I can't say it in words, but I get what she's saying. Someone else says he has the perfect opportunity to go solo. No one can say anything to him because they're not providing what he needs. Says, but the government gave him the property to live on or to keep as a prize. So, you know, it is what it is with that one. Cecil, let's wrap it up. Your thoughts. I feel another text message coming. Your thoughts, my friend.
I wish him good luck. But like I said, we have a different type of prime minister, a prime minister who is write letters to judges, right? There should be small things to intervene and make sure this gentleman get his electricity and his water. So I expect this to be short. This could be solved in a short order.
Yeah. Someone says, well, get him solar panels and get him a well with a filter. My God, he also has kids in the house. This isn't rocket science. We deported illegals on our tax dollars. I'd rather pay him for his light. Rather pay for his light and water. I like Crystal. Crystal is good people. A child, my mom was given a bill of $9,000 to run water from the road to her house. My father tried to open up a little convenience store off of the main Cordo Avenue. I mean, there was electricity and water everywhere. The space was less than 200 square feet, Cecil. They charged him $4,000 to get it right. And then when he was done with giving the $4,000 and getting it right, they still denied him his business license after requiring him to do this. All of that money spent, and they still denied him his business license. And that was the only thing left to do. So, I mean, this place is something else. My good friend, C.A. Nuri, love you, buddy.
Much love. Next time.
Yeah, see you on Friday. This is still the Nahaja Black Show, the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Special guest.
I patient like Job.
You patient like Job. You see, I watching you. Have a good day, buddy. Everyone, take care. You're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. See you guys next week. Oh, no, next week. Jesus, I'm ready for Friday. I'm going to try to see you on Monday. We're out. I'm Tuesday.